Please join me as we look to God in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Studies by sociologists on family life shows that there was more emphasis on family in the last two decades compared to the past 100 years combined. These studies also revealed that new social trends have changed and altered traditional family values, such as marriage, gender, sexuality, and relationships in the family. As believers, we need to be concerned about the change in our social trend because family is the bedrock of our society. Notice that in creation, God created family first before he formed society and nations. Family is also the place where a person first learns his most basic value in life, such as care, commitment, honesty, honor, love, respect, and servanthood. There is a need, my dear friends, for us today to be realigned to God's truth and to protect the precious relationship which God has blessed us with. So this morning, we'll be looking at building strong marriages through verses 22 to 33. And next week, Jason Wong will be here to share with us on how to build strong relationships between parents and children. Marriage, my dear friends, is a lifelong covenantal union. It's a covenantal union between husband and wife. Yet, each year, more married couples in Singapore are ending up in divorce. According to the Department of Statistics, 7,890 couples dissolved their marriages in 2021. Are you shocked? The Ministry of Social and Family also reported that divorce rates in Singapore are on the rise, especially among couples who are married between 5 and 10 years. Sadly, not every marriage has a happy ending. And Christian marriages are not spared. Perhaps there are some who are among us here today. Your marriage is in trouble, that you are struggling in your relationship. And maybe there are some who are younger today, who are here, you are struggling to commit because you wonder if your marriage would last. How do we strengthen marriages? Paul in verse 22 began with, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." This is a very popular verse for most men and husbands. Right, brothers? We often use this against our spouse. And whenever we are locked in disagreement, we tell our spouse, remember what the Bible says? Wives, submit to your husband. Before we get carried away thinking that this is the solution to strengthen marriages, we need to understand that Paul's argument for strong marriages is built on two biblical principles. Firstly, God's principle of marriage in creation, and secondly, Christ's love for the church. A strong marriage is firstly built on God's principle of marriage in creation. In verse 31, we are reminded of God's principle of creation, of marriage in creation. And Paul said, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This is in reference to what God said in creation, in Genesis. And God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 18, "It is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helper fit for him." As a result of that, God created woman out of the man, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. And God declared, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast," which means to be joined together permanently, "to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Marriage between husband and wife is therefore ordained by God himself and meant to be everlasting and permanent. When asked why Moses had permitted married couples to divorce, Jesus replied, because of your hardness of heart. Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so. Matthew chapter 19, verse 8. Behind the hardness of heart is always a sad story of betrayal, brokenness, abuse, neglect, hurt, and pain. No one enters a marriage with the intention to break the marriage vows. And God didn't design marriage at creation only to break it. God's intention from the beginning has always and still is for marriage to be permanent. If God's intention for marriage is to be permanent, then for those of us who are married and those who are planning to get married, then we need to realize that there's a need for us to put in our best effort to make marriage work. In the beginning, God also created marriage to be between one man and one woman. In Hebrew, every noun is assigned a gender, either masculine or feminine. There's no neutral gender for a noun in Hebrew. The gender for married couple in Genesis is defined very clearly as male and female between one man and one woman. Likewise, the gender for husband and wife in Greek is also defined as male and female between one man and one woman in all the epistles. This is God's principle of marriage in creation, the very basic unit of a family. While social values for family have changed to satisfy the carnal desire of men, we need to know that God's principle of marriage between one man and one woman has never changed. Not then, not now, and certainly not in the future. We need to be faithful in keeping to the truth of God as taught in the Bible. Having said that, truth does not give us the right to judge and to condemn, especially those who are inclined to same-sex attraction. God's truth are not bricks to throw at people. While we are to remain faithful to God's truth, God has called us to love, to care for those who are inclined to same-sex attraction. For they too are created in God's image. A strong marriage is secondly built on Christ's love for the church, verses 32 to 33. And there are three kinds of love expressed in Greek. Eros, which refers to romantic and sexual attraction. The second is phileo, which refers to intimate and authentic friendship. And the third is agape, which refers to sacrificial and unconditional love. Usually, it is eros that attracts men and women to one another, and phileo, which makes the couple best friends before they decide to unite as husband and wife. But here, in verse 33, Paul demanded for agape love in marriage. Paul stated in verse 32 that a strong marriage is modeled after the same agape love that Christ lavished on the church. So just as Christ agape the church, husbands, we too are to love our spouse sacrificially and unconditionally. But that does not mean that wives don't have to agape their husbands. As we study the gospel and the epistles, there's one unifying message across the New Testament, and that is, as Christians, we are to agape one another. So it does not make theological sense if wives are to agape fellow Christians, but not their husbands. So we can say without a doubt that God's desire for husband and wife to agape one another, to love one another sacrificially, and to love one another unconditionally. Understanding this model of Christ's love in marriage is important as we look at the roles of husbands and wives from verses 22 to 30. First, let's look at the roles of husbands in building strong marriages. Paul addressed the husbands from verses 25 to 30, and he appealed to them to love their wives sacrificially and unconditionally. Notice that Paul repeated this model of Christ's love for the church twice in 12 verses to highlight the importance of agape love in marriage. Husbands, do we agape our spouse? Do we love them sacrificially and unconditionally? I'm sure many of our sisters here, they want to know the answer. Do we love them sacrificially and unconditionally? Let me share a true story of William and Mary Tanner. William and Mary live in Kansas City, where William worked as a ticket sales in a train station. And as part of their daily routine, Mary would meet William after work, and they would walk home together every day. On that fateful day in mid-spring of 1919, while crossing the train tracks to get home, Mary slipped and her foot became wedged and caught between the metal tracks and the crossing platform. William tried to free Mary, but to no avail. Then came the most dreaded moment, the sound of an approaching train. As the crossing point was at the bend, William and others who were around began to work desperately to try to free Mary. But as the whistle of the train grew louder, Mary screamed frantically, "Go!" before the train comes, asking William and others to leave. But instead of leaving, William Tanner held on to his wife tightly in his arm and said, "It is okay, Mary. I will stay with you." People who witnessed the tragedy shuddered in horror as the train thundered over the loving couple. William and Mary Tanner left behind three young children. While we may react differently to this sad tragedy, we can agree that this perhaps is the highest measure of a person's unconditional love, to agape someone sacrificially. And Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." John 15, 13. The sacrifice of William Tanner reminds us of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose not to spare his own life, but held on to the cross to the very end and to die a cruel death, to save us from condemnation of sins and to give us eternal life. This is the model of Christ's love. This is the model of Christ's agape love in all marriages. Sadly, agape love in marriage was unheard of in the first century Roman world. Women were often dominated by their husbands. They had no social status, no power, no voice at home, no voice in the community. They were seen as weak, and they were abused, exploited, harassed by their husbands, and they were treated as two to serve their husbands and to produce heirs. But this is not, and I say again, not to be so in a Christian marriage. Hence, Paul's strong appeal to the husbands to agape their wives. God is concerned about our relationship in our marriage. God has ordained marriage to give us a life partner to love and to experience being loved, not to boss over, not to exploit, not to abuse, not to talk down, and certainly not to be treated as an object for pleasure. A strong marriage is therefore marked by our sacrificial and unconditional love for one another. As we agape our spouse, it is also our responsibility to help her grow in a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in verses 26 to 27, said that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and with word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. To sanctify means to set apart. Using the example of how Christ set the church apart to become holy and ready for his second coming, Paul reminded us, the men, of our spiritual responsibility as husbands and as spiritual head of our household. While cleansing by water is a reference to water baptism and word, a reference to scripture, Paul is not calling us to baptize our spouse, but to lead our spouse to a personal knowledge and a saving faith in Christ Jesus. Husbands, the spiritual well-being of our spouse and our children is our responsibility. Helping them to grow in a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in spiritual maturity must be our priority. Something not to be neglected. When was the last time we prayed with our spouse, with our children? When was the last time that we were engaged in conversations to encourage our spouse spiritually? Paul concluded this section with another appeal to the husband. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, and he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. To love someone as our own is to prioritize the other person the same, if not as even more important than ourselves. And here, Paul wanted the husbands to value their wives as they would value themselves, or even more. Brothers, do we prioritize and value our career, our hobby, our interests, our preference, and maybe even our car as more important than our spouse? To value someone in a marriage requires us to sometimes give up things that may take us away from our family and from our relationship with our spouse. Are we willing to give up our golf, our interests, our hobbies, and to instead use that few hours each week to spend more meaningful time with our spouse? Are we willing to give up what is important to us humanly in exchange for a happier and everlasting marriage? Unless we value our spouse more than ourselves, we are unlikely to cherish and we are unlikely to be committed to our marriage. We are unlikely to agape our spouse, and we are unlikely to be bothered about their spiritual well-being. Strong marriage begins when we learn to love our spouse sacrificially and unconditionally, and to value them more than our earthly desires. Next, we look at the roles of wives in building strong marriages, from verses 22 to 24. Paul appealed to the wives, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Paul, in these three verses, highlighted the issue of submission in marriage. The Greek translation for submit, hypotheso, means to voluntary yield in love. We need to realize that this call for submission is not to revert the state of marriage back to what it was in the first century Roman world. Instead, Paul's call for submission flows from his teaching of the two biblical principles. God's principle of marriage in creation, verse 31, Christ's love for the church, verses 32 to 33. For that reason, a wife's willingness to submit to her husband is a vital response in Christ to preserve the unity of marriage. As with all working relationships, we cannot have everyone leading and no one following. Someone has to lead and someone has to follow. Otherwise, there will be chaos and there will be disunity. This is the same in a marriage and in the family. And that's why God decided at creation for Adam, the husband, to lead and Eve, the wife, to submit. But this does not mean that women are inferior or are weaker than men. In fact, women have more than proven their capabilities and leaderships in Scripture, in history, and also in our modern time. This voluntary yielding or submission in marriage is out of her submission to Christ and out of her unconditional love to her husband. Having said that, that does not mean that men are always right and know what's best for the family as the leader. Hence, Paul suggested in verse 21 as the preamble to his teaching on strong marriages, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What this means is we are to learn to work together, we are to listen to one another, and we are to open to accept that our spouse may have a better plan and better idea, and she may know better. To submit to one another requires sometimes for us to have the humility to say to our spouse, I'm sorry, you were right, and I was wrong. The unity between Christ and the church is the profound model for the union of our marriage. A strong marriage begins when husband and wife agape one another, acknowledging that they are both imperfect and still in the process of being transformed by the Holy Spirit. My wife and I will be married for 29 years come January, and I can tell you we still have a long way to go. And we are still work in the progress. You may ask, do we disagree? Of course. Do we get angry with one another? Of course. Do we irritate one another? Me irritating her most of the time. Who is always right? My wife, of course. That's right. We are both imperfect individuals, still being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And that's why a marriage requires constant hard work with a lot of love invested into our marriage. It takes both husband and wife to work together to make marriage work. There are no quick fixes to strengthening marriages. But the good news is we have the truth of God and we have the love of Christ as our model. And we have definitely the support of the church community. I wish I could say more, but it is impossible to cover every aspect of marriage given such short amount of time. But I do know that among us, there are some marriages that need help. If you are struggling with your relationship or have gone through a difficult divorce or contemplating divorce, you don't need to go through this alone on your own. We have a group of brothers and sisters in Cathedral who are equipped and ready to help you. I want to encourage you to reach out to our member care and family life ministry. If you are looking for intervention, please contact our member care ministry. And if you are looking for prevention, please contact our family life ministry. If you are not sure, just contact both. And I want to say this. There's nothing to be ashamed about to reach out for help when it comes to marriage. Sadly, over the years, when couples came to me and my wife for marriage counseling, often it was too late. Reason being, we have so much pride in us that we will not admit that we need help with our marriage. And so I say again, there is nothing to be ashamed about to reach out for help when it comes to your marriage. For those who are single and widow, you're sitting here and wondering, you know, Pastor, is this talking to the married couples? What about me? You have an important role to play in church. We need you to pray for married couples, to pray for married couples in your cell group, and to pray for married couples in the church. The devil seeks to destroy and to break down marriages. But with your encouragement and with your prayer, I believe we can strengthen marriages in this community. In closing, as I was preparing this sermon for this morning, I felt led to invite all married couples to take this opportunity to renew your marriage vows before God. And I want to encourage you, as in the little while we'll be saying our marriage vows to our spouse, turn your vow into a prayer of commitment to the Lord and to your spouse. I invite all the married couples who are here in our midst to stand. If your spouse is not here, you can also stand. And when you reach home later, you tell your spouse, hey, I've renewed our marriage vow. Can you do the same? So married couples and those who are married, please stand. First, I want to lead the husbands to say our vows to our wives. So, husbands, you know, don't look at me, look at your wife. Right, ready on the count of three. One, two, three. I, your name, acknowledge you, your wife's name, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, cherish, and honor, till death do us part, according to God's holy law, and this is my solemn vow. Amen. Sisters, yes, we can clap, please. Sisters, now it is your turn. Please look at your husband. I, your name, acknowledge you, your husband's name, to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, cherish, and obey, till death us do part, according to God's holy law, and this is my solemn vow. Amen. Church. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, this is our earnest prayer of commitment to you and to our spouse. Lord, hear the prayers of every married couple and every family represented here, and may you strengthen the family life, our family life, in Cathedral, O Lord, our Maker. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated.